If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, I thought I would devote our time to addressing quite a few questions that I've been receiving from our ground crew, and so that's what I'm going to do. And before we get into that, let's do a little attunement and take a deep breath from across the cosmos and breathe in the breath of infinity. Breathe in the starlight particles from ascended worlds and great central sun systems that nest on into infinity. Visualize that as a continuum of golden orbs flowing through the top of your crown chakra and illumining your myriad of inner worlds as this golden continuum of sunlight pours down through your body, illumining, clearing, and brightening every crevasse of your being. Bring it all the way down through your feet and ignite the soul star in the center of the earth with a surcharging of divine energy in the very heart of the all that is. And we petition the God of our heart to shelter, to foster, and to guide us, to illumine our minds with greater discernment, greater wisdom, and greater clarity, to bring the peace of God into our minds and hearts and lives that passes human understanding and is born of the Spirit of the living God within us and ignited and activated by our faith. We ask for that measure of faith to carry us through these times unscathed. We ask for the confidence that is your presence to rise up within us as an anointing and empowerment, as a surety of direction, pushing to the periphery of our being any confusion, any negative thought forms, any energies that can be just completely shined away through your loving radiance, Lord. And as we center in for tonight's discourse, we ask you to enter into this dialogue and to be the one that gives the information through your Holy Spirit, keeping it pure and preparing the minds and hearts of the listeners to receive the portion that would be for their highest good. And we ask this in the name of the Most Radiant One, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to start with a reading from Psalm 91. Actually, I'm going to read you Psalm 91 from the Inspirational Study Bible by Max Lucado, New King James Version. And this is attributed to David, King David. And it's about safety, the safety of abiding in the presence of God. So again, take a deep breath and allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart and your mind and your life and your circumstances. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So when he speaks here of the young lion and the serpent, and the lion and the cobra, the lion and the cobra refer to Satan and the draconians, the fallen extraterrestrials. The young lion and the serpent refers to their brood or their agents or the little demons that are the ones that do the bidding of the dark ones. And when he speaks of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, that is where you take absolute refuge in the presence of the Lord. That presence literally covers you. It says you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place of the Most High. And you will be in that state of where you completely trust God. And that surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. What is the fowler? The fowler is, again, the demonic forces or Satan. And He will deliver you from the perilous pestilence. And the plague will not come into your dwelling. And even though many may fall at your side, nothing will come near you. And you only see these things from afar. You will not be in the situation of the flying arrows or the flying bullets or the atom bombs or whatever the outplay of the final days of the karma drama in the third density. Whatever scenarios play out, you will literally be hidden in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of His wings. And so you will have angelic protection around you. You will have supernatural intervention. I know I speak from my direct experience because I have been in some tremendous war zones and things that have happened throughout the world. And I have actually had my van actually pass through an overturned trailer tractor. It just, the atoms were adjusted, so I passed right through it like it was invisible. I have been in the middle of earthquakes where the buildings that I were in were so shabby that they shook, but I was fine. So there's so many things that we in the Ashtar Command do on an ongoing basis to shift our ground crew just slightly off the event horizon, just slightly off the timeline, energy placement of where a disaster hits. So we live this 91st Psalm over and over again, because you need to know that you are God's earth angels. You are God's hands and feet. You are the emissaries of divine light that have come just for a time such as this to be the workers in the vineyard of the Lord, to gather in the harvest. And the harvest, of course, is ripened souls ready to ascend into a higher dimensional outpicturing of the earth. So I'm going to get into your questions now and answer them as briefly as I can. What is the Ashtar Command, and how many Ashtar Commands are there? Well, I think probably this was somebody that was looking at us from the web search and saw lots of Ashtar Command sites. Well, first of all, we're not a website. All websites are started by some of our ground crew. Some of them are really, really wonderful. Some of them are not. And some of them are so-so. So like anything, they're created by people the best that they know how, and you will find one that you resonate with, and that's good for you. So there's one Ashtar Command, but I think I'll just go ahead and read you the little blurb that I put some years ago. I wrote this, and I think I can't actually say it any better now. And it's entitled, The Ashtar Galactic Command. The Ashtar Galactic Command, also known as the Orion Jerusalem Command and the Fleets of the Solar Cross, is the airborne alliance of the Councils of Light of the Divine Throne Worlds. We are the celestial and ascended hosts who, under the direction of Commander Ashtar, serve the Most Radiant One, the Christ, in his mission of love. We work in coordination with the legions of Metatron, the Order of Melchizedek, the Office of the Christ, and the legions of Michael, the Councils of Light, in the administering of the divine plan. We also serve in monitoring and stabilizing planetary grid systems and other conditions which affect the various gardens of life, which includes your Earth. We surround this galaxy as guardians and overseers, safeguarding all evolving souls according to the divine plan. We are the peacekeepers and peace guardians within this universal sector. Fleets within the command specialize in a multiplicity of areas, among them spiritual education, ascension, scientific research, intergalactic protocol, diplomacy, statesmanship, and the ascension of planetary worlds. We and our ground-based representatives are here to assist the Earth and her population as she transfigures from dense physical to etheric physical bodies of light capable of ascending with her into the fifth dimension. Our intent is ever to inspire faith and trust in the one divine source and to awaken everyone to your unique and divine nature and purpose according to the divine plan. We ever encourage unity, harmony, and the peaceful coexistence of all life. We, your elder brothers and sisters from many worlds, are eagerly extending our hands to welcome you into the galactic family of which you are a part. Know that you are part of a vast universe, so magnificent that even we cannot do it justice with our descriptions. We can assure you that it is teeming with life and filled with love, wisdom, and creative opportunity. Know that you are precious in the sight of your Creator, that you are the divine heirs to a kingly inheritance. It is our delight in being of service to you, and we are ever ready to respond to your specific requests. We bless you in the love of our Most Radiant One. Peace to our dear ones on Earth. We are the celestial hosts known as the Ashtar Galactic Command. So that's in a nutshell our resonance. And we have between 4 and 8 million, I would estimate, Earth volunteers currently embodied on Earth, whether they came in through the Earth, the birth process, or walked into a body or a past time cell. It doesn't much matter, but they're here. Most of them, I would have to say, are not awake. They don't really know who they are. They do not necessarily have to know who they are. But we had to have at least 144,000 fully activated, fully awakened, and fully aware of who they are so that they could be involved in conscious mission. And the rest would be light workers or maybe just loving people. Maybe Christians or Buddhists or Muslims, or they could be anyone, any place, in any form, really. So who is a member of the Ashtar Command? Well, anyone who feels a very strong thrill when they hear of the Ashtar Command. I remember I got hot and cold and goosebumps, and I felt like I was going to faint and cry and all at once, the first time I heard about the Ashtar Command, the first time I held a piece of paper from a couple that were representing the Ashtar Command, I cried and cried and trembled from head to foot. So you kind of know when you've encountered your spiritual family. So what does the Ashtar Command do? Well, it shepherds. We are the co-workers of the Lord Jesus in shepherding his flock. We're called angels in the Bible, which actually is a Greek word that means messengers. So we've been appearing throughout ancient times, but especially since the advent of Jesus the Christ into your world. The Ashtar Command specifically was formulated for the ministry of Jesus the Christ. And you cannot separate the ministry of Jesus the Christ from what we in the Ashtar Command do. We brought the one that you know as Jesus the Christ in time and space, we know as Lord Sananda Kumara from Venus. And we brought his holy essence to enter the physical body of Jesus of Nazareth in the birth process in our great mothership, which we call the Star of Bethlehem. And our message that went out to the shepherds that night was glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men of goodwill. So that was our first official message to the shepherds tending their flocks. And those that came to pay homage to Jesus, there weren't just 3 wise men. There were actually quite a few that came from actually came from the city of Agam Des in the Himalayas, to make sure that he was supplied with the wherewithal financially in terms of the gold and other things that he would need for his mission. We always overlighted him and brought him up repeatedly into the ships. When it mentions in the Bible that he was caught up in a cloud that spoke, or a cloud guided them, or a cloud descended over the tabernacle in the wilderness, this was all manifestations of what you call today, in modern terms, the Ashtar Command. In those days, it was referred to as the presence of the Most High, or it was referred to as the angels. But it doesn't matter what you call it. It is what it is, and it does what it does. So primarily we are shepherds. The word Ash, from the name Ashtar, actually means a shepherd who is an elder in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek has the keys of transdimensional relocation, or it knows the galactic portals and entrance and exit points multidimensionally for the ingress and egress of consciousness programs. So the order of Melchizedek, who has the shepherd's crook as their symbol, you see, the Pope and the bishops always have that crook, that staff, that's the symbol of the order of Melchizedek, which all true people, clergy, are ordained after the order of Melchizedek. Why? Because Jesus the Christ became the eternal high priest of the order of Melchizedek, because he's eternal for the simple reason that the high priest of the order of Melchizedek was replaced upon their death. And since Jesus conquered death and resurrected his body and lives eternally, he is now the eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So we function through that order, which is a galactic universal order that mediates and ministers and bridges consciousness programs and assists in shepherding people, souls, not people, but souls, through that process. So we are overseers of the educational and ascension programs that are being worked out today on planet Earth. We safeguard these programs. The Order of Archangel Michael works very closely with us in safeguarding the programs from any kind of biological interference, whether it's off-planet or on-planet, that would jeopardize the program. That's why so very many light workers feel that Archangel Michael is their guardian angel. I know I always did from the time I was a little Catholic kid. So that's true. He is. Archangel Michael and Archangel Gabriel safeguard the people of God. So we protect. As much as karmic law and your free will on your planet is concerned, we protect. And we definitely protect our ground crew. We also do everything in our power to prevent any use of nuclear power for harmful purposes. And basically, there's really no good use for atomic power. So we're discouraging its use. But, you know, again, you have free will on Earth. But it should never, 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 ever be used for military purposes. So we don't permit that as much as we are allowed by the karmic board to intervene, which is a lot, because we can't allow something that's going to pollute the whole planet and the whole solar system for generations to come. So we also rescue and evacuate where that's necessary. When would that be necessary? Well, if you are on a trajectory, for example, with a large celestial body that threatened to take out the whole population, we would and could, within a short period of time, evacuate the whole population of Earth. And why would we do that? Well, because your precious seed ready to be harvested, and we would rather harvest you and bring you to the Father whole, then spread out in atomic particles that will take a long time to heal and to bring back into, a state without trauma. So, yes, we rescue and we protect. We educate. The spiritual programs that we inspire are many, many, many. But you can see our particular signature through your positive spiritual and extraterrestrial movies, not the negative ones, but the positive extraterrestrial representation of life in other worlds, like Contact, for example. Those are inspired by people that are either sensitive to our guidance and tune in to these plots, or they're ground-based commanders simply serving in this capacity. We also send volunteers, as I've just mentioned, some 4 to 8 million strong right now on planet Earth. And they'll enter into every single area of life. There is no place that you won't find us. And we're here to simply open the heart to greater love, to inspire greater faith in God, and to be men and women of goodwill. Who is the head of the Ashtar Command? The Most Radiant One. Lord Sananda Kumara, also known as Jesus Emmanuel. And then under him comes Commander Ashtar, and then the rest of us. Okay, so I think that answers your questions about the command. Basically, we're peacekeepers. We are peace people who promote peace. We're about love. We're about loving and serving all life in this planet and throughout creation. So, okay, your question. What about the financial crises? Well, you asked for the golden age to dawn, and most everyone is extremely unused to using money who has come from other planetary worlds, and it's been a big problem. Money is something that was devised and created by the human ego. And so its dissolution is inevitable as we raise into a higher version of the Earth that won't be dependent on monetary systems. So it's forcing the changing of lives and the adjusting of priorities. And it's also bringing a need for greater joining and collaboration to grow gardens, to live together, to create a simpler lifestyle. So overall, it's going to turn out well. You can't have God as an idol that you place in the center of your life. You know, the Bible says you can't serve both God and mammon. And mammon is the love of money. So money is not the root of all evil, but it is the love of money that becomes the root of many evil things. So, we're seeing the meltdown of many systems that will in the future become obsolete. Okay, and here's a hot one. What about the talk of a pandemic? Should we be taking any special precautions? I was told this morning when I awakened, Ashtar came into my mind and said, tell the crew that none of these pandemics will ever take hold and succeed. The vibration is raising too rapidly, and that you will all, those of you with the ground crew, be protected. So, who is behind all of this? This questioner has heard that there is a covert agenda to eliminate certain targeted sectors of the population for its own evil purposes. That's awful. Oh, gosh. What are we going to gain from believing that? How is that going to make our life better? I don't know. I'm not about evil myself. I can't comprehend that. But I can share a few thoughts with you. Number one, unfortunately, we do live in a fallen universe. The universe came under the fall, and there is a dark force and light force. There's polarity here. And even though the dark forces were completely defeated 2,000 years ago by the coming and advent of Jesus the Christ, nevertheless, they're sore losers, and they still prey on the ignorance of people that don't know that literally they've been rescued, redeemed, and saved. They're unaware of that. And because they're unaware, they often fall prey to the dark forces. Now, why would anyone want to do that? Oh, that's a good question. Well, let's put it this way. If you are not actively serving the light, then consciously or unconsciously, you are an agent of darkness. You know, the satanic forces have always had the same agenda. It has never shifted. This is their agenda: to kill, rob, and destroy, and to use lies, deception, misinformation, and confusion in the process. So, if you look at what's offered on TV, for example, I was looking the other night, I couldn't find a single thing that either, I couldn't find anything that didn't have people mistreating, injuring, and killing other people. It was like a feeding frenzy on death. I gave up. I watched one of my movies that I've got that's wholesome and inspiring. So this lust for violence and to feed one's mind with violent scenes is both insane and a demonic tendency. You know, only a sick mind enjoys watching people abuse other people. I don't get it, quite frankly. I can't stand to watch that. I can't stand to hear people even talk cross to each other. I just immediately, mute the television when that stuff comes on. So, who are these evil forces? Well, this person actually prefaced the question with a really good thought. They said, "I thought there was only God and God's love throughout all of creation." Well, that's true in truth. But in the karma drama of the gerbil cage down here, the ego's nightmare, you have everything going on. You have the polarities really duking it out. And they're in a battle for man's soul, which would be man's conscious mind and volition. Why? Well, because Adamic man fell into a lower state of consciousness called duality, and came under the domination in the process of the Nephilim, which were the fallen extraterrestrial races called the Reptilians, the Great Serpent, Dracos, the Great Dragon. You know, the Bible's full of this terminology. And they're all extraterrestrial races with attitude. And they all targeted humanity because they had a chance to use them for their own nefarious deeds and agendas. So who are the evil forces? Well, in the word evil and devil, you have the clue. Evil is live, spelled backwards, and devil is lived, spelled backwards. So those who are willfully participating in retrogression, who are going against the flow of evolution and life, those who promote a cult of death are the evil forces. And they love death because death is the great illusion, but it's also the greatest fear of mankind. It's also what Jesus Christ conquered by his crucifixion on the cross and his subsequent resurrection. But those dark forces don't want anything to do with Jesus. They get really upset when you mention Jesus. They get really upset if you start talking about the gospel of how he came to earth with one purpose, And that was to set the captives free and to defeat the works of Satan, to break the curse of the fall off of humanity. So naturally, they're not real fond of you learning about Jesus or reading the Bible or, God forbid, becoming a Christian. Not that you have to become a Christian to follow Jesus, you don't. But many do. And works for me. So this cult of death, everything that has to do with the dark forces, if you look, is linked in some form with death, destruction, disease, fear. And part of it is creating or trying to create, whether they're engineered consciously or not, fear about something that's going to get you, whether it's evil aliens or it's some evil virus or bug or whatever. And what happens is that the fear itself compromises the immune system and makes one vulnerable to infection. Ashtar said a long time ago that we would raise our vibrations to the point that we wouldn't catch any of these viruses or diseases because they vibrate at a much lower rate than your light body, your higher consciousness. But if you hook into the fear and start getting worried, then you come into agreement with the possibility that you might get whatever it is that they're saying you might get. So I suggest that you raise your vibration as high as possible. Hide yourself under the shadow of the Almighty. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Make God your refuge and your fortress. Trust in God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Learn the 91st Psalm and repeat it to yourself when you're afraid. Print it out, put it on your bedside table, read it before you go to sleep at night. Begin to use positive words from the Word of God, the written Word of God, to counteract fear. Print out the 23rd Psalm, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that one. Begin to work the things that work to build your faith and keep you really centered and dependent on God. We're not designed to be independent of God. That's why we're called sheep. Hello? Sheep don't do very well when they get out from the flock and they go off on their own and, you know, they're fair prey then for the wolf. And the wolf, of course, is Satan. So stay under the watchful eye of the shepherd. And he cares so much for you, he won't go out and leave all the other sheep to find you if you do get lost. But why put him to that trouble? Stay in the flock under the care of the good shepherd, Lord Jesus, and you will definitely be safe in the times ahead. So evil is active ill will towards anyone or anything. You know, it's active ill will, intent towards ill will, intent towards harmfulness. And yet, listen, evil never appears as evil, but as an angel of goodness and light. So be aware that just because someone puts on a, you know, an outfit of a sheep, they could very easily be a wolf in disguise. Well, how would you know? Well, you got to depend on the Holy Spirit to give you and pray for a spirit of discernment so you can discern the spirits. It's very hard sometimes to discern the spirits because usually these dark forces are extremely attractive. You know, Satan is said to be a gorgeous archangel, just really beautiful. So the evil forces have the light, the limited light, but they don't have the sound current. They don't have the word of the living God. They don't have the Holy Spirit with them. They have psychic power. They have biophysical electromagnetic fields of power. But they don't have the power of the living God, which has to be which is received only as you receive the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, as the head of your life. then the Holy Spirit comes in on that energy, because the Holy Spirit primarily comes to bear witness to the Messiah, to the Anointed One, to the Christ presence, the Christ consciousness. And it won't come into someone who doesn't acknowledge the Christ. That's just the way it is. And why wouldn't you want to acknowledge the Christ? I've traveled all over the world, and Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and people throughout the world all respect Jesus the Christ. They may not be Christians, but it says in the Bible, you know, if they're not against us, then they're for us. So Jesus has sheep of many, many different sheepfolds that are not necessarily following the same spiritual format. But if you look at them, they're all following love, love and service. And love, after all, is the savior of us all. Jesus was simply a container for God's endless love and grace. So, first and foremost, if you haven't done it, for heaven's sakes, put yourself in God's hands completely, lock, stock, and barrel. Invite Jesus the Christ into your heart, into your mind, into your life, into your finances, into your health. Give everything over to him. And then learn of him, learn of his ways, and follow him. Follow him. He is the way back to the highest divine throne realms. And watch the choices you make. You know, people get involved into negative things by making poor choices and wrong choices. And getting involved with friends and people and listening and allowing their minds to become influenced by hate-filled rhetoric. Now, people really need to use and exercise discernment. Are you becoming more loving by what you're studying and listening to? Or are you becoming more fear-based and hate-filled? If so, you're listening to the wrong voice. Hello, get out of it. And that could be a church, you know. Just because you're going to a church doesn't necessarily mean that it's following Christ. You have to examine the fruit. Be a fruit inspector. You know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, self-control. That. So evil and hatred are taught and learned like any other behavior by the examples that people see every day in their environment. And that can be due to bad karma. I mean, you could come in, you know, with some wicked karma. But you can be delivered from that, too, by turning your life over to Christ. You can be delivered from the darkest evil to the brightest light in a nanosecond by turning your life over to the Lord. So who are these dark forces on earth today? Well, I'm probably not the best one to ask, because I keep my eyes on the Lord and I'm more interested in him than I am keeping track of dark forces on the earth. I guess I could answer it this way. Dark forces are basically agents of evil, of Satan, and they're individuals who are disassociated from their higher spiritual levels. In other words, they have no contact with their higher self. They have seared their conscience by ignoring the voice and denying the voice of God within them for so long that they've seared, they've literally hardened their consciousness to where they can't hear spiritual things anymore. Only Jesus Christ can save them, really. Only a touch from God can save people like that. And, you know, no one is beyond redemption. But, you know, some people are just like, for example, Hitler. He was totally possessed by six of the major demonic dark lords and had no contact whatsoever with his soul or his conscience or his higher divine principles. So that's why it's so important to keep close contact with the Lord through prayer, through meditation, through keeping good company, through reading the Bible or reading some sacred scripture, studying the Course in Miracles. Keep your vibrations in the divine walk. Make it your daily practice, and then you will not you'll be reinforced, you know, and you won't be so prey to be swayed into dark areas. Keep out of them. Keep out of the dens of iniquity and people who enjoy iniquity. If, you know, if you're really filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't stand stuff like that. But some people have accepted salvation, but they haven't actually been filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then you need to ask Jesus to baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and he will do that. Then, you know, when you get lit up with the fire of the Holy Spirit, you only want to do good. You only want to be a vessel of honor that does good works. So these people who are disassociated from their higher spiritual principles are the unregenerate or degenerate, the unredeemed, the lost or unsaved ones. So these individuals have no conscious awareness of the divine principle nor any interest in it, and they then become filled with spirits of evil intent. They become possessed with those spirits instead of the Holy Spirit. But again, a touch from Jesus, those spirits will be cast out. So when asked, well, what about the dark forces? Will they ever change? What can change them? Yes, of course they can be changed in an instant by calling out to the Lord. It says in the Bible, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That whosoever is anybody, anytime, anywhere, any place, any condition. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? The insanity of the ego mind, which has been given over to evil. That mind can also be given over to Christ. So Christ, the Anointed One, the Christ Messiah, came for one purpose to earth. No other purpose. He came specifically to redeem, restore, and to set the captives free. He came to destroy the works of darkness and to defeat Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Earth had been totally pirated by the dark forces, and all of the Adamic race had fallen under the spell of the dark ones. And Jesus came directly to address this problem. He had to come from the highest divine throne realms as a direct emanation, incarnation of the highest divine Father to do this. And he willingly allowed the dark ones to capture and crucify his body so that he could prove through his resurrection that death could not contain him, nor the grave. And 3 days later, he resurrected his body. But he was hard at work from the moment that he died on the cross. He immediately descended into hell, or Sheol, actually the place is not, the place of fire, it was Sheol in the Bible. And Sheol is like a holding tank, or it's also called Abraham's bosom, where people were sent by the dark forces before the Messiah came. They weren't tortured or anything, but they weren't allowed to go into the higher heavens. Since the fall occurred, they were bound to this lower realm of the earth. And so Jesus came and set them free. That's why if you read the Bible, the moment that the earthquake happened and the big thick curtain in the temple was torn in two, and they saw the graves open and many, many beings that had been dead walked the streets. So that was the first resurrection that occurred when he emptied Sheol. So, and, you know, then after he resurrected his body, the keys of Enoch says that he appeared in the Pista Sophia. Dr. Hertak speaks about how Jesus appeared and he has a resurrected, ascended body of light, and to all the major archons, the dark lords, I went, gotcha! Were they bummed because they thought they'd gotten rid of him. If they had known what they were going to release by crucifying Jesus, they would have never done it. They would have done everything in their power to to not harm Jesus if they had had any clue of what he was going to do, and that was going to spell their doom. So it's really interesting when you understand the deeper teachings here. So, the transformation that occurs when you accept the divine program through the office of the Christ, and its head, Jesus Christ is the head of the office of the Christ, when you accept that divine program, you are restored to the tree of life, which is a vast galactic program. You know, it says in the Bible that Adam and Eve partook of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, they bought into the rhetoric of the serpentine race, the reptilian race that appeared to them, and went into their program of duality, the knowledge of good and evil. This is the world we live in. And lost eternal life in the garden of the tree of life, which is, again, a vast galactic program. So death entered, disease entered, sorrow entered, conscious awareness of God's presence departed, and they were allowed to do this, but they were in over their head and would have stayed there forever had it not been the grace of the office of the Christ that sent Jesus into incarnation to once again restore access to the highest divine throne realms and the direct presence of the Father. And that's what he did. So when you accept the Lord into your life, all your past is wiped clean. Your name is written as it in the book of life, and you're restored to the divine program of life eternal. So when you leave the body, you go directly to Jesus the Christ, who's promised that he will take you to live with him eternally after you die. So that's the only master who's ever died for you and has promised to take you to heaven. No other teacher, master, avatar has promised to give you eternal life and take you to heaven to live with him forever. And heaven, of course, is the higher divine throne realms, not the lower astral worlds that we normally think of as heaven. So that happens in a nanosecond. And the change is so total that sometimes people are delivered from the most awful drug addiction, the most awful lives of criminality, the most dreadful diseases. I've watched it. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it with my own eyes and experienced it to a lesser degree in my own life. I didn't come from a criminal or drug background and all of that, but I certainly had a lot of deception going on in my mind, not understanding certain things. So Jesus came and gave me a whole new life in a second, in a nanosecond. And then gradually, you know, you transform all the levels of your thinking until you're completely filled with that Christ consciousness. And for some people, that's a gradual process. For others, depending on how old they are as a soul, it's faster. But the transformation is often instant, and it's always permanent. Even though the old habits may try to return temporarily, the heart is changed forever. And so the person will ultimately return to following the way of the Lord. So just get under the shelter of the Almighty. That's the important thing. Just tuck in there. And know that asking God to take charge of your life is necessary for everyone. Somebody asked me that. Yes. Jesus said, you must ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you, which again forms the acronym ASK. A-S-K. So, yeah, you have to ask. These things are not foisted upon you unwilling, you know. God allows you complete free will here. But if you want the best that he has to give you, it starts with accepting the Son that he sent for you so that you too could become equal heirs with Christ Jesus and also be Spirit-led sons of God. We all need to work and manifest that same level of empowerment that Jesus did. We were made for that. That's our purpose, and that is what the Ashtar Command is all about, is fostering Christ consciousness and being the helpers and co-workers with Jesus the Christ, the Most Radiant One. So that's about all the questions I can get to tonight. But I'm always glad to answer your questions, and I will perhaps do this at least once a month to address the many questions that I receive every day in the mail. So, I think we'll just chant the name of Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua. Yeshua. Notice Hu is in the middle of his name. Okay? Take a deep breath. Yeshua. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. And God willing, I will be with you next week. Adonai.